This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The National Rifle Association, in most of its public impressions, comes across as a big national-level political lobbying group, which it is. But a lot of what the NRA actually gets done policy-wise happens at the state level. One state in particular, Florida. The NRA's successes there and the woman responsible for them are the subject of a new piece in the New Yorker magazine by Mike Spees. He writes about 78-year-old Marion Hammer, who he and others call the most influential gun lobbyist in the country for the past 40 years. Concealed carry and stand your ground laws all started in Florida under Hammer's guidance. Mike Spees, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Kai.
One of the things about Marion Hammer that struck me in this piece was that it's pretty explicit by those who've been on the receiving end of her lobbying efforts that she's playing the long game, that state legislators in Florida are there for 2, 4, 6 years, and she's going to be around for a long time, and she will keep whittling away at these issues.
Right. You know, there are times when she does, you know, she has dealt setbacks when she introduces a bill, or she has, I should say, a lawmaker introduce a bill. Sometimes
That was an interesting slip of the tongue, though, right?
Right.
Because that's
kind of
the name of the game in this piece, is that she is active to the point of authorship of a lot of the legislation, the gun legislation that's been happening in Florida.
Yeah, she's generally using lawmakers in Florida as her proxies. I mean, she's a lobbyist, not a lawmaker, so she's not literally allowed to file a bill and to vote on it. So she needs a member to do that. But she's behind the policy and she's overseeing its development throughout the entire process.
You know, somebody in this piece points out that one email from Marion Hammer to NRA supporters and members in the state of Florida can be worth more than like 100,000 television ad buys in terms of political influence. And with that in mind, and with the acknowledgement that there is a substantial amount of money at play in Florida here, NRA money, talk to me about Governor Rick Scott, who is rumored to be running for or thinking about running for the Senate down there this fall, who pays attention to what Marion Hammer says. It all kind of plays into that.
Yeah, and he in particular owes a lot. It was a great debt to her because when he took office or he was running first in 2010, he was a complete political neophyte. He'd never held office before. He had no legislative history to speak of. And in the primary that year, the NRA, Marion specifically, gave him a big boost, effectively endorsing him over his primary opponent. And then going forward in 2014, when he was up for re-election, the NRA did spend quite a lot of money helping to re-elect Rick Scott. And he's, of course, until now, never taken a position remotely contrary to anything that she's asked for.
And we should say in the wake of Parkland that Governor Scott has seemed at least more amenable to some kind of gun control legislation in the state of Florida.
That's right. Yeah. What's happening right now where he's, even though these things he's asking for are fairly modest, like raising the minimum age limit to purchase a long gun from 18 to 21 or mandating 3-day waiting periods for all gun purchases. These aren't, you know, they're not major policy reforms in the way that banning assault weapons might be, but they are still contrary to what Marion is calling for. So that does, I mean, this is, you know, we're in uncharted territory when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. How much has Marion Hammer been able to capitalize both in terms of political funding, but also an influence in this idea of gun ownership in this country being part of a group identity, and then that having such sway that people will respond to her pleas for money and or emails to legislators and people in position to do something about this?
She's gotten a huge amount of mileage out of that concept, and I think, you know, she's one of the originators of that concept, which now, I mean, that's an idea the NRA sells in general to its members. But she's been cultivating this us against them mindset since the 80s. So, you know, when she raises some issue, perhaps like a Republican lawmaker has voted the wrong way on something and, you know, broken with the flock, she's taught hundreds of thousands, if not nearly 2 million people, to immediately respond to her requests, and that means emailing them, emailing the governor's office, telling them to not do the bad thing that they're about to do or undo the bad thing that they have done. And that always results in many thousands of emails. And it's she's proven that she can mobilize those people so effectively that everyone is not only aware of it, but it's to some extent afraid of it. It's her leverage.
I imagine gun rights advocates and NRA supporters in other states now look to Florida for how to do their policy, how to get their policy goals met?
Yeah, I mean, she's the example. I mean, you can't really find a more successful – there is no more successful, especially state gun lobbyist. I mean, the NRA's got its state lobbying apparatus, I think, consists of, I don't know, 15 or 16 lobbyists on staff. Hmm. And a lot of them actually work out of the headquarters in Virginia. And they're responsible for a few different states, and they fly out to them when major policy issues come up, and then they go back to Virginia. But Marion is the, you know, the rare lobbyist who's stationed in the state in which she lobbies. And over four decades, she's just managed to insinuate herself into the legislature. I mean, she's not part of the government, but in a lot of ways, she's very much part of the government.
Mike Spies writes for The Trace. His piece on the Florida NRA and Marion Hammer in particular was published in The New Yorker magazine. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.